Would you pray with me? Lord, we thank you for this day and especially for our opportunity to be here in your house today. And Lord, as we spend some time with you and some time with our brothers and sisters in Christ. Lord, we ask that you would open our hearts to receive your word. Lord, that you would block out a few of the distractions that we might have so that we can focus on you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. What an exciting day, right? Are you excited or not? Yeah? It's hard to tell. But it's a time today where we're going to celebrate and you're going to reaffirm that faith that became a part of your life in baptism. You're going to say, yes, this is my faith. This is what I want for my life. And so everything that we do in life is simply marked by some time. Now, what I'd like to ask you, how many of you have ever said, I just wish there was a little more time in a day? I mean, I'm going to say we've probably all at least said that at some point in our life. Now, some of you may be wishing, okay, I wish the day would go by a little faster. But for the most part, we're wanting more time because we have so much to do, we can't get it accomplished. And so as we look at time today, I want us to think about, how do we actually spend our time? Now, there's no way to add time to a day, and there's actually no way we can take time away, right? Because God sort of established that in the beginning in Genesis when he creates the heavens and the earth. And there's people that'll want to debate this all the time. But according to the Bible, when God created the world, we have the beginning of our 24-hour period days. After day one, what did he say? There was evening and morning the first day. What did he say after the second day? The same thing. The third, the same thing. And so we have this establishment of time, 24-hour period of time, and there's no way that we can take from that or we can add to that. And so the question is, how do we spend our time, or maybe how should we spend our time? If we really look at the creation account in Genesis, God lays out some pretty good guidelines on how we are to spend our time. I'm going to try to remember all this. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, he says, "Let us make man in our own image, and let them rule, let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, and over all living creatures." And so when God creates Adam and Eve, he places them in the garden to do what? To care for it. In other words, guess what? To work. Okay? So God establishes us that there's going to be time in this world where we work, whether we want to or not, right? He establishes this time of work. The second thing that he points out to us, I believe, is as we look at this passage in Genesis or the creation account, when we get to Genesis chapter 2, verse 18, he looks and says, it's not good for man to be alone. I'll make him a helper suitable for him so that they can do this work together. And so he creates Eve, and then at the end of chapter 2, verse 24, he says, for this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and they will become one flesh. What we see here is we are to spend time with who? Our spouse, our families. Now, how many of us do really good with the first one and we spend a lot of time working? I think we do. How many of us kind of slip a little bit when it comes to our relationship with our family and our spouse? We probably all need to raise our hand, right? And I think what we're going to see is this progression or digression really gets worse and a little bit worse. Because the third thing is he wants us to spend time with who? Him. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 2, we get the part in the creation account where he says he puts them. Oh, wait, okay, I got it now. What happens on the seventh day? Anybody know? Rest. He rests. Does anyone know what the Hebrew word for rest is? Come on, everybody raise your hand. You actually know it, and you're going to know it for sure now. Did you know it is Sabbath? So, you know Hebrew, right? Okay, good. So the Hebrew word for rest is Sabbath. Now, in confirmation, what is the third commandment? Remember the Sabbath day and what? And keep it holy. So God wants us to rest from the work that we've been doing, right? Because we all work hard at that. And then he wants us to also on that day what? Keep it holy. What do you think that means? Spend a little bit of time with him. And so all of these things combined, we're supposed to, he lays out, we're going to spend some time working. We're going to spend some time with our families and our spouses. And now he wants us to spend some time with who? Him. The only problem is, or I guess the dilemma is, I've kind of reversed those orders. And we reverse them. We spend a lot of time working. We spend a little less time with family and spouse. And then we spend probably even a little bit less time with God. And they should be flipped around, right? We should spend a lot of time with God, quite a bit of time with our family, and then a little bit less time with work. But we get busy. Our lives are busy. And so what we want to look at today is how should we spend our time? And I think we have a perfect example of this. And by the way, Johan, you did a great job on that Old Testament reading that I threw you today with all those names. The first part of that chapter, and before we get into the verses of chapter 1 of Haggai, we want to remember kind of where the Israelite people have been and where they are. The Israelite people were carried off into Babylon into captivity. Jerusalem was destroyed. The temple was destroyed. The city walls were crushed and flattened to ruins. And around 538 BC, some of the Jewish people were allowed to return back to Jerusalem. And the first thing they did was to start to rebuild the temple. But it stopped. The people around them didn't want them to do that, and so they stopped working on the temple. Around 520 BC, about 17 years later, Haggai comes on the scene, and this is what he says to them, and the first few verses are kind of setting us in the time frame of where we are. In the second year of Darius the king, in the sixth month, on the first day of the month, the word of the Lord came by the hand of Haggai the prophet to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest. Thus says the Lord of hosts, these people say the time has not yet come to rebuild the house of the Lord. The word of the Lord came by the hand of Haggai the prophet. Is it a time for you yourselves to dwell in your paneled houses while the house lies in ruins? Now therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. You have sown much and harvested little. You eat, but you never have enough. You drink, but you never have your fill. You clothe yourselves, but no one is warm. And who earns wages, and he who earns wages does so to put them into a bag with holes. What do you think these words mean? I think what Haggai is saying, everyone is so focused on who? Themselves. And whatever they have, whatever clothing they have, whatever money they have, whatever their houses look like, guess what? No one is happy. No one is content with what they have because they're so focused on themselves. And in verse 7, he continues, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways, go up to the hills and bring wood and build the house, that I may take pleasure in it and that I may be glorified, says the Lord. You looked for much, and behold, it came too little. And when you brought it home, I blew it away. Why? Declares the Lord of hosts, because of my house that lies in ruins. While each of you busy himself with his own house, therefore the heavens above you have withheld the dew, and the earth has withheld its produce, and I have called for a drought on the land and the hills, on the grain, the new wine, the oil, on what the ground brings forth, on man and beast, and on all their labors." What's he saying now? Now he's giving them really that charge. Stop focusing on yourself. Stop worrying about your own house, but do what? Bring wood, bring the stuff to rebuild the temple of the Lord. It's time to start focusing once again on the Lord's ways. We see this time and time again throughout the Israelite history. They fall away and then they get called back and they come and focus on God for a while and then they fall away again. But here's Haggai's words of the Lord coming, hey, let's rebuild the temple. And then in verse 12 and following, "Then Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, with all the remnant of the people, obeyed the voice of the Lord their God and the words of Haggai the prophet, as the Lord their God had sent him. And the people feared the Lord. Then Haggai, the messenger of the Lord, spoke to the people of the Lord's with the Lord's message, 'I am with you,' declares the Lord. And the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and the spirit of all the remnant of the people. And they came and worked on the house of the Lord of hosts, their God, on the 24th day of the month, in the sixth month, in the second year of Darius the king." So what happens? They actually respond. They actually respond to God's calling on their life. He pierces their heart, the Spirit fills them, and they get to work on the temple. They begin to focus once again on God's calling in their life. How many of us need a good piercing of the heart for God to have a calling on our life so that we focus on who He is? If I ask the question again, how do we spend our time? And I thought about this from the perspective of the confirmands, but first let's look at the key point for today, if we can put that on the screen. The key point is, I offer my time to fulfill God's purposes. Would you say that with me? I offer my time to fulfill God's purposes. And the key verse, I thought it was in there. Is the key verse not in there? If you look at it in your bulletin on the second page, "Whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him." Say that with me. Whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Colossians 3:17. If we think about how we spend our time, how are we doing with spending time with God? And I thought about this for the confirmation students. Most of you have been in the confirmation program. It's a 3-year program, right? And so I figured up, if they made it to every Wednesday class and every Wednesday evening service that was a part of your confirmation, over 3 years, that's 102 hours. Okay, that's a lot of time, isn't it? All right, if you happen to come every Sunday to church for 3 years, that's another 156 hours. If you made it to Sunday school on every Sunday, for those 3 years, that's another 156 hours, right? Now, I'm being a little generous because our Sunday school class doesn't last a full hour, okay? But if you did all of that, that's 414 hours in 3 years. Do you know how many hours are in 3 years?
No.
26,280 hours. Now, if you divide that out, the 414, that's 1.5% of your time spent here at church, if you've done every Wednesday, every Sunday. That's 98.5% of your time still left. That's incredible, isn't it? Now, if you spent some time in Bible study and in prayer, we can add a little higher percentage, right? The thing is, the way we spend our time with God and offering our time to God, part of it is here at the church. We've talked about that as part of this biblical community coming together, worshiping together, encouraging each other, supporting each other as we live our lives in this world, which we desperately need. It's a very important aspect of who we are as Christians, being involved in this community. But if we look at the key point of the day, I offer my time for God's purposes. Are we ever going to be able to offer even 50% of our time, spend it here at the church? And I hope not, because I'm not going to, well, I guess I am here in the office, if you count that. But I don't think that's what God means. He's not really wanting us to spend 50%, 70% of our time here at the church. What he wants is the church. He wants him to be a part of our everyday life, every aspect of our life. And like with the children, at school, on the baseball field, wherever you are, that's where God wants to use you. And we can offer our time for him wherever we are. In our work, at school, in our homes with our family, in the grocery store when we're shopping, in Dollar General, wherever you go during the week, in the beauty shop. I know what goes on in the beauty shop, and guess what would happen if we kind of turned that into some positive energy? You see, if we focus on what God wants us to do in our lives, in every single aspect of our life, we're actually offering our time for him in every single thing we do. Is it possible to do that perfectly or 100% of the time? Absolutely not. We're not perfect. We're sinful. In fact, we in our confession time, we usually do the things we don't want to do, and we don't do the things we know we should do. But that's why God offered his time through Jesus, to come into our time and in our space, to bring us forgiveness in life. And now, we respond. We respond to God's calling on our life that comes, by the way, through the power of the Holy Spirit, which today is Pentecost Sunday, when we remember in the church year when the Holy Spirit came to the disciples for the very first time and engaged in their lives and motivated them to begin to spread the love of Jesus. I pray that all of us, and especially you confirmands, that you begin to make this a part of your everyday life, your everyday walk, that we live our lives for God. Because you see, what we do is people look, people see what we do, people hear what we say. And when we can transform that through the power of the Holy Spirit into something positive, they begin to see God working in us and through us so that more people will come to know who he is. May we use our life and use our time for God's purposes. Amen. And now may the peace of God that transcends all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.